Welcome to Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, a podcast about anything and everything. I'm RG, at RG Flores on Twitter.
I'm Josiah, at For the Villain on Twitter, at Comic Underscore Syndicate. What's up, RG? How you doing, man?
Nothing much. Just excited to start talking about more crappy movies.
That's essentially what we're doing.
Crappy, well, I have my crappy Marvel movies, but I know.
Okay.
Pre-Iron Man.
Yes. And essentially, not even pre-Iron Man, but kind of. Because we're talking about Marvel Cinematic, and this is going to be the breakdown of what this topic is about, guys. So if you guys didn't catch last week's episode of Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, we're going down Marvel movies before the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
And before, as kids, we really didn't have enough CGI. We had to use a lot of imagination, I guess, dude. And a lot of acceptance. Yeah. But then again, we were kids.
I think what we know.
And movies back then were just not made that great anyways.
What we've noticed is that a lot of these movies, they didn't respect the character or the
product
enough
thing.
That they were like, cool, people just want to see the superheroes and people shooting stuff. Yes. They didn't care about the story,
yes,
or building up a character or anything like that. Come on, you cast Hasselhoff,
yes,
you cast Dolph, like, whose range is very limited.
Both of them, I mean, Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Michael Knight.
And, like, never... I think at the point where Hasselhoff was... when Nick Fury was... When he was all the Baywatch stuff. So, like, dude,
within
right now...
that gap.
Right now, yeah. He's like that...
He's hot. He's a hot old actor.
Yeah, he's just weird. Yeah, well, yeah.
He's not... He was big for the time, but again...
But he was never, like... It's funny, because he was never, like, charismatic. He was just, like...
No.
So you need, like, that Nick Fury to be able to have, like, that style,
yeah,
that swag to him, like...
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure.
And again, the love for kittens, or love for
cats. kind of. But this is our list, guys. We're just going through, and we're going to compile, and RG is actually going to lead this one. But even before jumping in that, as kids, we didn't have a lot to work with. Like, if you ask me, like, my era of, like, when I was first introduced to characters would honestly have to be, as a kid... this came out in 1984, a Secret Wars toy line, Marvel toy line,
okay,
where each character only had moving arms and legs one way and a shield. And it came with a holographic, or I guess lenticular, shield.
Okay.
But as far as that, I remember seeing and loving this as a kid. And hopefully you were in love with it as much as I was. But I was a huge fan of Bill Bixby. And I loved the fuck out of The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
And I loved Lou Ferrigno. And it was practical effects. And I was talking to Victoria about this. Like, it's so cheesy, but they were able to get away with it. They put a small shirt, like a kid's shirt, on Lou Ferrigno and just flex. So you're ripping out of it. And we're going to paint you green. So it looks like I'm freaking out. Yeah. And Bill Bixby was the banner you love. And I grew up with that. And that's my first character that I think I gave a shit about.
Yeah.
Before anyone. But I loved Bill Bixby. And that I loved the fuck out of. But even telling Victoria, and I literally sent her the intro to the show. And I'm like, the show ended with this music every episode.
So sad.
That's so sad. He's
what's
just walking
sad?
Like,
he's
a hermit walking from town to town. And every time he wants to get comfortable, or every time he thinks everything's okay, he has to save the day. They piss him off. And he always has to say goodbye to everyone, like, I'm sorry, I fucked up. It's like, no, you saved me. It's like, I gotta go. And everyone's always like, you know you can stay, we won't tell anyone. It's like, yeah, it's better if I leave. Like, it's fucked up.
But he has to learn to just be angry all the time.
Right?
That's the best way.
So that's what I grew up with. That was my fucking wheelhouse. As a kid, though, that's fucked up to say and see, I guess.
Because in the previous one, you also mentioned, like, stuff I grew up with.
RoboCop.
Like, I love anything, science, robots, or whatever. But RoboCop... I shouldn't have watched it that young, but RoboCop,
love the fuck out of it,
loved Dick Tracy. I think it still holds up because it's like a lot. It's a lot of kind of like a,
you know, it's a weird noir vision.
But I think because the way it's done, like a comic book, because it's done a lot of like green screen and stuff like that.
Even
so,
the vision, I guess, yeah. Dude.
For being what year was it? Dick Tracy was in 90. For being like almost 30 years old.
You know what? I'll give you that.
It's still a fun ride. And I remember watching this, like...
Yeah, I'll give you that.
I might have watched it in the theater. But that one, The Rocketeer, I want to get a jetpack on my back.
Right.
But that was just visually cool, but...
I still want to date Jennifer Connelly.
Jennifer, dang, huh? Jennifer Connelly, remember? Did I see Swamp Thing? Okay, I never saw The Crow.
Oh, watch it. It's a good dark
movie. Because I was never into dark movies at that age. So when it came out.
But you saw RoboCop.
That was different. He was a robot.
That was different.
He used to, yeah, that was more real life. Like, I can't engage.
He blasted his whole body apart piece by piece. He holds his hand up and says, "No, stop." And they blow his fingers off his hand. But you didn't like dark movies?
No.
A dude got acid dropped on his face.
That was hilarious, though. When exploded.
Right? It gives us an appreciation for effects and shit like
that. But they were like the random ones. They were just good movies. They weren't movies because they were. Now these comic book movies are good because they're good movies, not because they're comic book movies. Mm-hmm. And those were the few ones that actually kind of like. Then we talked to Avengers. Ever saw? I saw that was like B movie.
True. Okay,
but I saw the cartoon.
Okay, now I'm glad you went to cartoons.
And it is Mop
because we were kids and it. Okay, look, even for the time we were kids, looking back at the animation on a lot of these suck. But let me go through my list, and you're going to be like, yes, yes, yes. The animation, granted, going back now, deep diving, not great. Transformers, though, I can still jump into. Like, okay, as a kid, we had Voltron. We had Transformers. Voltron. We had Thundercats. We had He-Man. We had G.I. Joe. We had GoBots. We had Mask. We had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah. And just to go into just the comic book aspect of Ninja Turtles, two totally different companies, and they have an indirect tie-in origin story with Daredevil.
Okay.
So what happened was young Matt Murdock as a kid pushes some lady out of the way because a truck carrying fucking radioactive. Because it's just something you fucking do.
Was it the 80s?
Well, yeah, we did. In the 60s. In the 50s. And
everybody had radioactive
sludge. So even this radioactive shit gets in Matt Murdock's eyes. One of the buckets turns over and enters the sewers. An indirect. And not a lot of people know that. So, in just these obscure things that I fucking know just to know. Yeah. And, okay. So, still Daredevil is the ninja clan he's always fighting is the Hand.
Yeah.
In Ninja Turtles. Do you remember the name of the
Foot.
The Foot. Hence, those small indirect. Yeah. And it's like, it's
the same world.
Origin story, yeah.
Does Daredevil eat a lot of pizza?
He's a stud. He's a stud.
You notice there's always pizza being delivered to the sewers?
I know, right? But yeah, so indirect weird origin stories. And this is an origin story on Marvel fucking movies. RG, rock and roll, man. What you got for
me? Okay, so my next one, or on my keep going on my list, 1994, Fantastic Four.
Let's talk about this one real quick because.
So this one.
Actually, you want to go first or do you want me to?
Yeah, let me read it and then you can jump in.
Okay, whatever. Because you're probably going to mention the guest, but go for it. Yeah.
So director Roger Corman's Fantastic Four is arguably one of the most famous films to never be released.
Yes.
Becoming the stuff of legends after being traded on VHS copies among fans throughout the 90s.
Yes.
With Constantine Films poised to lose the rights to the Fantastic Four.
Take your time reading this because people don't know this. And please go for it.
Okay, with Constantine Films poised to lose the rights to the Fantastic Four franchise, the studio hired the B-movie legend to crank out an FF adaptation of on a shoestring budget of $1 million. It still sounds like a lot of money.
We can make a movie off of $1 million. Oh, I'm sorry. I think we can.
Since we couldn't... especially with technology now.
And I'm so ambitious.
Can do phones. Like, you can film so much with, But I'm saying you can save so much because you can pretty much do a lot.
Yes.
I mean,
honestly, dude, like, we need a few legit cameras and locations. But honestly, like, I think I can pull you guys, The Office, and be characters, and I can write you guys into the movie. And it's like, I can't pay you guys, but once we make movie off this money, like, I'll hook you guys up, but trust
Great
me.
Great film. What was your salary? Sandwich?
Half a sandwich? Know, right?
We split a pizza? Costco?
Yeah.
So Corman, instead of trying to tell a simple story, so this is how you say money, because it was only on a shoestring budget, $1 million, so he couldn't afford splashy effects or big action sequences. So Corman instead tried to tell a simple story with Marvel's First Family. And though he really did try to make the material seriously, the cast of unknowns just couldn't break free from the project's low budget and B-movie roots.
Okay.
The film was scheduled to be released in 1994, but was pulled from the schedule and never officially distributed. Years later, Stan Lee confirmed what many fans suspected: the project was never meant to come out. Instead, it was put into production so Constantine could retain the rights to the characters, as Lee noted.
Cool.
The tragic thing is that the people involved with the film were not aware that this movie was never supposed to be shown to anyone. Mm-hmm. So we're in the rights. Because I didn't know the whole story. So the rights were like, if you don't produce anything in a certain amount of time, mm-hmm. you lose the rights to the
That's character. Exactly what it is. Now, same thing with that's why Sony still tried to do that with Fantastic Four, and let's make Johnny Storm black. I had no issue with that. I love Michael B. Jordan.
His brother.
He's my homie.
No, he's his brother. No, he's supposed to be the brother, not the brother.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, okay, true that.
Loophole,
for sure. But you're right. What you said right now is exactly correct. Once Marvel sold off properties, and Fantastic Four was one of the ones they sold off early on, the thing with every production company is if you have a right to it, you have to make a new movie every so often, every 4 years or so, I think it was at the time. Yeah. If you don't produce or make something using that character, the rights go automatically go back to the owner.
Well, they don't want stuff to get stagnant, just sitting there.
Exactly.
Like, do something. It's like what I said today, I think, to Alan. I'm like, either take a shit or get off the pot. So that's kind of what they do with the movies. You're like, do something with it.
Kind of. Yeah.
So they take a shit.
And it's like, I don't want to lose these rights to something like I'm sitting on fucking a bunch of money. Granted, Fox dropped the ball, minus with Logan, was a great fucking movie.
Yeah.
Now, again, with Marvel as a comic book publishing company, selling the rights in 96 because they legit went bankrupt. Again, for anyone that hasn't listened to last week's episode, that's what it is. Like, Sony fucked up and Fox fucked up, and Marvel had the X-Men, and it's like, okay, cool. Now that the acquisition happened between Disney purchasing, not just Marvel, but purchasing now fucking Fox.
Yeah.
Like, they have access to Fantastic Four again and the X-Men now.
Yeah.
And this is on the heels of Avengers Endgame dropping this Friday. We're recording this on Tuesday, the 23rd?
22nd.
Look, all my days
it hasn't dropped yet. It hasn't dropped yet.
422 somewhere. All right, dude. Go for it, man.
Okay, cool. So
that's a good talking point, though. I mean, that's a lot of people don't know that, but yeah, sitting on rights and sitting on a movie. If you don't do something with what you have, then yeah.
Cool. I had like
anywhere you want to go, I can kill some time, dude. So, just on that note, it is a huge fucking thing. So we don't know what's going to happen at the end of Avengers Endgame yet, and they have so many characters now. And honestly, I want to see Fantastic Four done properly. But that movie in particular that you just mentioned in, what, 93,
94?
94. Is have a you movie.
Seen it? They say it's still bouncing around.
It is.
Have you seen it at all?
No. I want to pick it up. It's so
they
said
it was supposed to be never, but some people said it's been like here and there. They see parts and whatever.
If you look, yeah.
Especially with the internet now. Like, I'm sure somebody has.
Someone has access to it. But
a good portion of it.
I read a report. This was a few years ago, though. Like, the directors. Not even directors. I guess a few of these people used to work for Marvel, and they're like, you know what, we're gonna pay you for everything, your budget on the movie, and just give us the rights, or not even the rights, but like, I want every copy of this, and we're gonna destroy it.
Yeah,
and that's what they did. So it's one of those.
An actor, though, like,
it's gotta suck. Well, okay, look, the same thing's happening right now, honestly, with the New Mutants movie. Like, mm-hmm. It was supposed to come out in last year's summer movie draft.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge New Mutants fan. Listen to the Comic Syndicate. I love these characters. And the fact that they keep shelving it. It's like, the actors in that movie are like, we don't know when it's going to get released, if it's going to get released. We saw this year in our summer movie draft that it's going to get dropped. But again, the last of the New Mutants that's going to drop this summer. And X-Men, Dark Phoenix Saga.
Yeah.
Whatever happens is the last story of these X-Men characters. Because now Marvel Studios has the rights to these characters to build them properly.
Well, most of the guys are already over it. Most of the actors on it. So they're like, all right, cool. So this is the time, like, you guys don't really interested. What's the name?
J-Law. Jennifer Lawrence has been over playing Mystique for the long time. Logan is dead. I mean, technically, Logan's dead, but Hugh Jackman said, like,
I want to go. I want to do theater. I want to go back to his theater. It's funny seeing him. Like, he's a theater guy.
He is. He's such a stud.
So anyway, so I think you mentioned this before too. So the next one I had on here is Generation X.
Oh, so bad.
Was it the TV movie? Well, technically, it wasn't.
It's a TV movie. Well,
it was like a Fox.
It's weird. 90. It's a Fox one. And this,
you could tell it's Fox, like 90s Fox, because it had like its own like
look to
it. So. Okay, I know you brought it up before.
Banshee, Chamber, fucking, food. Yes, so many good characters, so many strong characters.
Yeah, I'll go through them.
Not good.
So four years. 4 years before Bryan Singer brought X-Men to the big screen,
they tried.
Fox dabbed in the world of mutants with the 1996 TV movie Generation X. The series is mostly featured B-listers from the X-Men canon and follows Jubilee.
Jubilee, I forgot.
And a team of mutants at Xavier's School for Gifted Youngsters. A cautionary object lesson for future X adaptations. The series suffered from a skimpy budget that made the cool mutants and power manifestations impossible to execute.
Oh yeah.
Even worse, it didn't even use one of the Myriad villains from the X-Men comics, instead casting a woeful, underused Matt Frewer. Matt Frewer?
Who did he do? Who was he?
No, Max Headroom.
Idiot! Homeboy, what character was it?
As a generic. No, it's a generic evil scientist.
Okay, which is the same
villain was.
But still. That's not a good movie. Okay, continue.
Okay, because looking for the comics, there's so much potential to turn into a television series.
Yeah.
It's a story of misfit mutants trying to find a place in the world of as the ultimate outsiders. With a boatload of crazy sci-fi and comics troops, how do you mess that up world like this? Well, so it was under budgeted. They couldn't even afford like a proper villain. So like they just threw an evil scientist. So it was like a very...
And Generation X as a comic book in the 90s was actually really good and properly done. Like I learned about Chris Pachalo, who does a drop for us. He's a killer fucking artist. And even Scott Lobdell, one of my favorite writers still now, works specifically for DC Comics. Like I get that. Okay.
Well, because it goes back to the whole thing, they didn't respect it.
No, they don't. It's just, they're like, if something's selling here, we can make it into something.
They just slap the name on it and throw it on and make a couple bucks, but they're like, and let it die.
And it's not good, yeah. Okay, man, continue on.
Next one, we talked about this one.
What you got?
1998, Nick Fury, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's my boy, Michael Knight.
Yeah, the Hoff, because 96, that's when, or 98, when, like...
Like you said,
he's trying to milk the Baywatch money.
Yeah.
So... Nick Fury is one of the coolest characters in Marvel's stable. And for bringing him to live action, hiring Baywatch alum and he's Austrian?
I guess so, because he's always...
I guess. Austrian pop star... I thought he was... Okay. Austrian pop star David Hasselhoff to do... Worst Idea. But despite some cool ideas and Hasselhoff's cigar-chomping skills, this one still fell short of fan expectation, as IGN noted in his review. The character of Nick Fury has a rich history and a deep backstory that may someday make for a good film. But this low-budget, low-quality affair is definitely not. Though Samuel L. Jackson has... Since taking ownership of the eye patch wearing Super Spy, Hasselhoff maintained that his version of Fury is still definitive.
Wait.
He thinks his is a better. He's a better one.
I love David Hasselhoff.
Yeah. So Hasselhoff, he told movie web. Yeah. Oh, of course he's an idiot. That guy's he fried himself.
I loved him as Michael Knight.
That guy did too much drugs and alcohol. Dude. Fried himself. I don't know what he did, stupid.
Yeah, he did a lot.
Whatever he did, he fried himself. That it takes a character was mapped out with Stan Lee's blessing. He told the movie web that his take on the character was mapped out with Stan Lee's blessing. Written to be tongue-in-cheek, and he had a cigar in his mouth. He was a tough guy. He was cool. He took it a step further, noting Lee told him that he was the ultimate Nick Fury, which Jackson might have something to say about that.
True. Okay, granted, Ultimate Universe Nick Fury, which is our Samuel L., compared to White Nick Fury, which is a thing. Like, it is a thing. So,
did you see that one?
Makes sense.
The Hasselhoff one?
I did. Yeah. Again.
Who's right?
Okay, look, all these movies we're talking shit on right now, a few of them are okay. not a lot.
But now, looking in the rearview mirror, once you've seen all the we've seen now,
I will give you RoboCop is still good.
Yeah.
I'll give you non-Marvel Batman.
Okay, people have never seen this or like Victorious was born after all this mostly.
Yes.
I want
talking Dick Tracy. Honestly, still has
Dick Tracy's so good. RoboCop so good.
The Rocketeer still holds up.
Of course, Batman. Rocketeer still fun movie.
Holds up. Dude, and this is the end of the 90s era, but continue on if you have any more. But some of these do hold up. Some of them.
These are more modern. Well, it's modern. This is still like 15 years ago. In 2000s.
Okay, so you're jumping into 2000s.
Yeah.
And I have a few on my 2000 list. Well, okay, by 2000s, that's when it finally got a little bit.
They start to go wise up.
Yes.
They start to wise up and be like, maybe we should like get a big actor instead of like. And we'll try to do this seriously. Try to put money behind it. Let's try to make this happen. Like, I think that's when they started realizing there might be something here. I'm not saying they know how to do it right.
True. But honestly, they got this one right. And if we're talking 2000s, Blade was the last of 90,
okay.
of the 90s era. And honestly, Blade, he's a Marvel character. He is a vampire hunter.
Yeah.
Fucking Wesley Pipes.
Willie Mays Hayes.
Willie Mays fucking
Hayes. The original Hayes. Willie Mays Hayes.
Exactly. Now, technically, great fucking movie. But still Marvel Studios banner. But that was the last Marvel movie
that was good compared to previous movies. Now, that's what honestly, people forget.
It's better than Ghost Rider. And well, a lot of things are better than
Ghost Rider.
Howard the Duck is better than Ghost Rider.
The last good thing Cage did was National Treasure.
That was the last good thing
I did. That's the last thing I saw. Yeah, I can watch over and over again.
True.
2003, Daredevil.
Ben Affleck.
So.
Okay, wait. Do you want to jump in first or should I? Oh, you jump in first and
I'll go ahead and you can fill in, yeah. So it pretty much almost broke even. It made internationally all over and made about 20 million. But we're not in the business of trying to break even.
Now, especially domestically, we want more fucking money than what we're spinning out.
So, I'm not investing 100 million or 70 million to make 20. Like, no, I'm not.
Nah, we're in for the long haul. Hence our summer movie drafts. Like, with the numbers we talk and spit is stupid, but awesome.
Ben Affleck is, DC Universe is Dark Knight. But a decade or so before he landed the role, he was the first big screen version of the Daredevil.
Although, that's. Big screen, for sure, but Daredevil and Thor made an appearance in the Incredible Hulk Bill Bixby version I was talking about. And they use his old black costume, which they actually bust out on the Daredevil Netflix show, is him and his just black, all black, fucking heavy taped hands for gloves. And he's going to go to fucking work on you. So technically, but big screen adaptation? Yes. Daredevil. It was Ben Affleck.
I'll okay, but the results were less than stellar. The Affleck-led Daredevil movie scored a mediocre 44% of reviews on the aggregator Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes.
And it's easily the easy to understand. Why? Sorry, I just spaced out weird. The story fell into a lot of superhero tropes. The Affleck Matt Murdock was basically a poor man's version of Batman, which is weird now because now they see Batman is like...
It's cool because Daredevil and Batman are essentially the same character, although... Daredevil, Matt Murdock doesn't have money. It's just the training aspect and the physical aspect.
Yeah, but what is it? But if you take a...
And we don't kill people.
Yeah, like and from Batman, if you take his money, what is he? He still kicks ass.
If they scrap, would be dope, dude.
Yeah.
And I think, So honestly, I'll continue on because there's a few small Easter eggs in that too.
The tone seemed to jump all over the place. Not even the chemistry between Affleck and co-star Jennifer Garner could keep it on track. Even Affleck himself admitted that eventually came to regret signing on to the project. Interestingly enough, many fans argued that the director's cut of the film, which makes some fairly drastic changes to the flow and tone, was actually a pretty good movie. Alas, it was a little too late. So
yeah, true. Okay,
so maybe, I don't know.
Agreed. Easter eggs in that movie though is okay. Let's talk villains first. I love villains, dude. I love what's his face fucking the villain. He plays Bullseye. Will.
Not at Will.
It is Will.
No, no, it's
Farrell. Farrell.
No, it's Colin Farrell.
That's what I meant.
I'm going to say not Will.
I went backwards.
Wrong Farrell. Colin Farrell.
Okay, Colin Farrell. Love Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
He was a terrible fucking Bullseye. Like, if I don't know. The route they took was terrible. But Kevin Smith came out in the movie and just a lot of weird Easter eggs. And Kevin Smith did write Daredevil.
properly in the comics. And Joe Quesada, like, you see his name up. So technically, yes, it's my first time seeing Daredevil, second time on TV, movie. So I liked it. It's underrated, but it's not a great movie.
Have you seen the director's cut? And maybe it might be a thing, too, like how that film was edited. If it would have been edited differently, it could have been done better. Yeah. But I mean, it made its money back. Back then, if you even make any kind of money, if you made more money than you put into it, then you're it's a win.
True that. All right, Mike, continue on.
2003. Hulk.
Okay. Eric Bana. And Jennifer Connelly, too, my girlfriend. It was a good movie, question mark. Like, he looked very cartoony as Hulk, the CGI. But it was a good movie. It kind of broke down, like, what he went through as far as the gamma radiation. And so how well and how bad was that received? Pretty bad.
Yeah. So it cost it cost $137
million. Okay.
It only made $132. So we're not in the business yet. So it lost money. And that's when they give you like the cost, I don't think they incorporate like advertising and all that stuff a lot of times. So it probably lost way more than $5
million. Agreed.
Yeah. So it says here, Ang Lee's Hulk is a borderline entry on the list. It's actually just barely fresh on the... So the artistic... So you've seen Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
Yes.
That's kind of what the Hulk brought to the film. Have you watched that one?
Hulk?
Yeah, that one.
I honestly like it, dude. I like Eric Bana as an actor. And I don't know who wrote the script, but it was good. And again, for a Hulk movie, but again, like premising everything for the most part, saying like how much I love Bill Bixby and how much probably Hulk was my go-to character as a kid. And not even like the first character I saw myself as, but kind of like this character's awesome. So any love for Daredevil, give me that. Okay. So yeah, I do have affinity for Ben Affleck's Daredevil. I had like this movie too. It's not good. I'm not going to fight for it. I say it wearily. Both of those, like, they're good to me. Like, and that's not saying a lot because I love movies and it's like, for what they are, I like them.
Because they said, no doubt, a character of Bruce Banner says, it is fascinating, layered figure ripe for exploration. Hope delved into the emotion of the character, but for a summer blockbuster, it came off a bit too thinky and too talky. In fact, neither of the theatrical Hulk movies that made much of an impact, even the one actually included in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Edward Norton's.
2008. Hulk works best in an ensemble?
Ensemble film.
Ensemble.
Yeah. Hence what they're able to do, and I think I mentioned in the last episode.
So he can't carry a movie. You know how Buffy is. He can't carry a movie.
He could, if it's written properly. Because it's one of those characters everyone can relate to where it's like Daredevil, Batman, like when you have that fucking bad fucking day.
Yeah.
Like everyone's allowed to have a bad fucking day. Granted, we all become bad people sometimes when we snap, and it's not right to do that to fucking people.
Yeah.
But we're just not going to be wrecking down buildings and towns because of it. Like, that's unjustifiable. Anyways, go ahead.
I didn't see this one. Elektra.
Okay, terrible fucking movie.
Cost $43 million.
How much did it make?
$24 million.
So it was bad. It was bad. I did see it. Oh. Not good. Just not good.
What was the worst? What was it, the acting and the writing?
It was the writing, and I think Jennifer Garner is a great actress, but she was...
Not a superhero. Or not a...
Very bubblegummy, broad, and probably why I hate Wonder Woman as well is...
She can sell insurance.
Almost naive to a certain degree.
That's her.
So, anyway. She kind of has that look. Continue on. Fuck it. Keep on going. Right, we can skip that. Continue. Yeah, just skip.
Okay, Man-Thing.
Ooh, Man-Thing is a Swamp Thing type character. That was a movie? I don't think I've seen this.
2005. Cost $30 million. It made $1.1
million. Ooh, that's a big-time flop.
Hollywood dug deep into the Marvel's canon, to try and get into the comics, and with Man-Thing, with decisively awful results. The B-level character story is hard to pull off under the best of circumstances, even tougher when you're slashing the budget and working from a shoddy script.
Give me a fucking $1 million, I can write a good
1.1 script. $1.1 million.
Give me $1.1 million, I can write a
million.
Good script.
Do $30 million. According to...
it made $1 million. That's right. You did say that. That's a huge flop, dude, by the way.
Okay, so according to Nicolou, I don't know if you know, who worked on this effects for Man-Thing, I don't know where it came out. The creature viewed in the film was never supposed to make it to the screen. He said that the model was conceived to serve as an on-camera stand-in, and the plans to replace it with CGI created in post-production. The budget was actually cut, though, and the stand-in was used throughout the film. The film itself dubbed with a small theatrical run internationally, but bumped to television in the U.S. There's premiered...
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
So, this is awesome. So, you know, we always see, like, when it's, like, the fake dinosaur.
Yes.
But it's, like, a little cut. So, pretty much they used the stand-in. They kept the stand-in in it because they couldn't afford the CGI. Now, I gotta go.
I want to watch this now. And I like Man-Thing. But he's the poor man's version of the Swamp Thing. So,
Man-Thing. It sounds terrible.
Yeah. For Marvel, okay, that's the equivalent.
Okay. 2005, Fantastic Four, again.
Okay, this is Chris Evans as Johnny Storm. Part one.
Yeah.
And Idris Elba. Jessica Elba?
Jessica.
Idris Elba as fucking invisible bitch. I got that.
She's
from,
naked and she's invisible.
I'm a Quentin Tarantino fan, so and I like if you guys watch, have seen Reservoir Dogs, there's a... And Quentin Tarantino is actually a legit comic book fan, so he makes references, like, to The Thing and, like... Yeah, he looks like The Thing, that ugly motherfucker, that orange motherfucker.
I love
Michael like invisible bitch.
He's a commish. I love the commish.
Yeah. So Jessica Alba was Invisible Woman. So yeah. Susan Storm.
So it cost $100 million. It cost $154. I'm sorry.
This is part one.
It cost $100. Yeah.
Yes,
it is. Yes. So it cost $1 million.
Okay.
To make $1 million, idiot. All right. Couldn't that, like, that was wait, the salary? Wait, it cost $100 million. It made $154. So it wasn't like a complete loss, but it was not the hit. You don't invest. You don't try to make half the money.
Exactly.
You try to like make way more. You're not trying to like break even.
Okay, if you're still on Fantastic Four, though, and this is a sad thing that I've said a lot, honestly, the best Fantastic Four movie is The Incredibles. Like, the Fantastic Four is a family movie. Brothers, sisters, fathers, parents working together, and superhero. That is the best Fantastic Four movie out there that the Fantastic Four should be. But because it was under Fox at the time, sorry, Sony... At the time.
Yeah.
Actually, no Fox at the time.
Okay.
Because Spider-Man is Sony. So, or was. So, continue on. Sorry about that.
Okay. Fans waited a long time to see the great Fantastic Four movie. And sadly, they're still waiting.
Yes.
Even after multiple attempts, the 2005 effort was at least a budget, big budget affair.
Oh, so with solid, the Silver Surfer.
With solid effects, worked as a talented cast, the Idris Elba, bringing Marvel's first family to life. Unfortunately, none of this was enough to save the film itself.
No.
Critics panned Fantastic Four for its bland story and its sheer goofiness of the tone, which tried to match the family-friendly approach with the comics. The family-friendly approach of the comics, but ended up just being silly.
And even our boy Evans, Chris Evans as Johnny Storm, Human Torch, wasn't bad.
Before he got yoked.
And he was even in shape then, but now he's yoked.
This is before he got like
yoked. And even honestly, if we're talking part two, Dr. Doom, I'm a villain guy. Oh my God. Like, they fucked up one of my favorite villains of all time. Like, you're right, corny and not campy, but like cheesy, dude. Yeah. Just cheesy. All right, man. What else you got?
Cool. So, I think I'm almost done. Cool. All right. So, X-Men, The Last Stand, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Cost?
I'm down with that. I like Michael Fassbender as Magneto, and I like James McAvoy as Professor X.
But I've noticed, this is how close I think they came to, like, a lot of this stuff never being made.
Yeah.
Because up to that point, right before Iron Man was made.
What year was that? For
2006. X-Men, Last Stand.
So, we had to wait 2 years for a good movie to come out.
But this is, like... This is where we're at. This is pretty much the
we're getting into the ballpark.
Yeah, this is where we're heading up to. Or Iron Man. This is where we're describing the world in movies right before Iron Man. This is when Iron Man's trying to be made and trying to be pitched and trying to get done. Mm-hmm. I've noticed all these films are even breaking even or maybe making like you're making back like 10% of what you invested in.
You get
10% return if that, or because you never know what they put into advertising and all that
and
stuff.
That's. Yeah, as a whole movie, that's terrible. Yeah.
So when you're pitching Iron Man, they're like, you want us to do Iron Man, but X-Men sucked, Ghost Rider sucked, Fantastic Four sucked. You're seeing, like, you want us to put how much money in to break even? Like, everything's breaking even at the best case scenario.
Now, here's a good thing even before jumping in there, is Marvel Studios, their game plan was like, and I always tell people this, like, I would tell you guys this all the time before, too, like, they're finally giving it to the writers and creators that care about these characters. And you see the difference in the quality, not just not CGI, but like the characters. And it's like, I see myself as this character, as adults, as kids, way more relatable. And that's what comic book characters are.
Yeah. All right. Well, because they had the good stories for the adults, and they had that wow factor for the kids.
Yeah.
So you're both in it, because the kid's like, wow. And an adult, you're like, oh, shit. Like, a lot of adults. Yeah, and a lot of adult problems, stuff like that. Like, I mean, you're not a superhero, but it's a lot of stuff that many people deal with, whatever and whatnot. Yeah. All right, so, yeah, X-Men 2006, The Last Stand. I said made $20 million, if that. The first two X-Men films from director Bryan Singer played a key role in ushering the modern age of superhero movies. With the franchise still technically going to this day, but there's one black sheep in the franchise, The Last Stand. Singer dropped out to direct Superman Returns, so Brett Ratner stepped into a tight production schedule and ended up with one heck of a half-baked and disappointed effort.
Okay.
Randomly killed off major characters and attempted to shoehorn
into
the Phoenix Saga, one of the biggest stories from the comic book canon.
Ooh,
along
so
with
bad.
Several other plots, it was so bad that 2014's X-Men Days of
Future Past was terrible.
Basically recon the movie out of existence.
Recon everything, because it's like, okay,
it's so bad.
Let's just
like,
under the
so
rug.
This is the movie that they had to make the other movie to clean up the mess from this movie.
Yeah, which is sad. Which is sad.
Which is awesome, though.
But now, why do you think it's frustrating as a comic book fan? Like, for me, like, I'm like, I want to like these X-Men movies, and part one was good, part two with Nightcrawler was good, and then once they did the Dark Phoenix stuff for Bryan Singer 2, part three before they decided to retcon everything, it's like, part two with Nightcrawler is a dope fucking standalone movie.
And it's funny, as much as I love time travel, I hate when they incorporate time travel.
Okay, so if Avengers Endgame goes time travel, right?
Because at that point, it's like, what does anything matter?
What if it's done properly?
Well, I mean, but still, like, because what are we talking about? Like, there's certain films where, like, it's almost like that movie Next, Nicolas Cage. That movie ended. I'm like, spoiler
this
alert,
movie was pointless.
I was here for close to 2 hours, and none of it mattered.
Exactly.
I was pretty much, I was watching a man's thought process.
What if it matters this time? What if
it just depends. But what if it all goes back and you're like, so? Okay.
Which one of these Marvel movies has probably hurt you or hit you the hardest so far? Of the new ones, of the Marvel movies.
Like since.
That made you feel like, shit, like this. I kind of feel like emotions. Like this one kind of hurts. Did it hurt for you to see Peter Quill disappear? I mean, that scene with.
It didn't because Spider-Man? I'm like, there's still another. When one shoe hit the floor, there's still another shoe ready. Like I'm saying, like, I know they have something else, so I'm not like.
Okay.
Go. Until maybe this one, Endgame, so I can see exactly
like
the whole picture. Right now, they gave me half a picture, so I'm like, I don't get to see what exactly is going to happen.
And fair enough, man. I'll give you that. Okay, cool.
That was funny, that when they cleaned it up, like, screw it, we're just going to erase it.
I mean,
nothing happened. Oh, here you go, guy. One of your faves. Cost $110 million to make and made $115, pretty much lost money. Ghost Rider, 2007.
Continue on.
The film, this film features Nicolas Cage on a motorcycle with a flaming skull for a head.
I love Johnny Blaze. I love who?
How do you get that so wrong? Just watch the film itself for a case study, if you dare. The movie is framed almost like a boring video game. We're so cheesy. Idris Elba's in this one, both, right? Yeah.
Idris Elba's in this one, too?
Yeah.
Wait, I'm thinking, still thinking about Jessica Alba.
No, Idris Elba's in, I think, the second one. I know he's one of them.
He's in one of them. Off the top of my head. I've seen both.
You don't forget that guy.
So bad.
Dude. Okay, so with it so cheesy, or what else? Okay, this movie is framed almost like a boring video game.
It is.
It's so cheesy, it's so bad script, and explosion of messy CGI. And while Cage isn't entirely awful in the film, the story does him no favors. The film scored an abysmal 26% on review on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
The fact that it was delayed for years due to script issues make a lot of sense in retrospect. We'd all be better off. Off if the spirit of vengeance never escaped development from hell.
Dude. And honestly, I want to like it because I know the character and I know the lore and history, and wow, just not good. All right, man. That's what we're looking at on time. Give the last. You got on there on the last one?
Yeah, last one. And this movie broke even or even being close to budget, I think you lose money because we know that a lot more money spent.
Not one of the last.
And we kind of covered this one, so we can go quick. Fantastic Four: Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Oh, okay, that's about it. Okay, so technically, Lawrence Fishburne was great as Silver Surfer, and the voice and the CGI they used was great. Doctor Doom, he needs to get introduced into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because if you think Thanos is a dickhead, I love fucking villains. Doctor Doom is one of those
likable in that one?
Characters. He was on Nip Tuck at the time. Don't know actor's name, but I know his face. But I've never seen Nip Tuck. But he had the look for a Doctor Doom, and Doctor Doom is such a flawed villain that you guys are going to love the fuck out of him if done properly. And it was just a bad movie. You know what? I want the synopsis on that. Go for it. Because now I'm curious. Yeah. How bad was it?
Cool. Despite the critical shortcomings, the first Fantastic Four film did make a decent bit of cash in the box office.
Okay.
So the studio ordered up a second adventure that pulled off the Marvel Comics' biggest baddies.
And Galactus.
Pulled out Marvel's biggest baddies to boot, resulting in one of the biggest letdowns in cinematic history.
Oh, so bad.
Fantastic Four: Rise of the Silver Surfer pitted the Fantastic Four against Galactus.
Kind of is.
Except instead of a gigantic world destroyer fans knew from the comics, he was a big, mean cloud.
Oh god, I hate it so much.
Critically panned, the film was bad enough the studio pulled the plug on the planned third film. After this one, the Fantastic Four were shelved for almost a decade. Though the eventual abysmal reboot in 2015 was far from an improvement, Fantastic Four fans just can't win.
Again. Okay. Supremacist.
Eat the cloud. He went from a world destroyer to a
cloud. Oh my gosh, he's supposed to eat planets. Okay, guys. Alright, and now we have the Marvel Cinematic Universe. As we're talking about it now, 2008, Iron Man launched. If we don't have Iron Man, if that movie fails in 2008... we don't have the Marvel Cinematic Universe as we see it now.
Yeah.
And the great thing about Marvel Studios has been, let's give it back to the fans. Like, these creators that know these characters, these people that give a fuck about these characters, that have a passion to write these characters and do them properly. And Marvel Studios honestly did it right, because they've been playing the long game, RG.
To have the patience on it.
And they're introduced every character.
How many years did they, when they announced that they show that giant?
And we see the phase one, phase four, the timeline. Ooh.
How many years ago was that? And that was like, what? And we've seen them all of them.
Yeah. And the fact that they had a pool and they're still moving things around.
And they could have pulled the DC and just shoved everything into one, like shoved three or four moves into one.
Yeah.
But they're like, nah, we're going to space it out. We're going to...
Yeah, that's the best way to do it, dude.
Well, it's kind of hard because the way the world is now, everyone wants now. True. But to be like, no. I'm going to give you a spoonful of time. I'm going to let you chug it.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you just spoonfuls.
And
it worked because it gives you time to care. It gives you a time for emotions and everything to catch up.
And you are invested in each character.
Yeah, because if you don't do it properly, you end up with a giant cloud.
Oh, giant fucking cloud. True.
That's the worst kind of giant fucking cloud.
I love it. Hashtag giant fucking cloud.
Fuck me. There you go. A giant ducking cloud.
and honestly, dude, this movie is dropping. Fuck, you guys have probably seen it already. The fact that they're so passionate about it, I hope it's good, and I trust Marvel. That's why I say I trust Marvel.
So next, probably Comic Syndicate, you'll hear a lot of Joe going, not next one, probably in two or three, you'll hear Joe going, no way, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So next week's going to be non-spoiler.
And I'll have earmuffs.
By this point, it's going to be non-spoiler.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to have to sit by Victorious and Josiah. They're going,
I know.
Which one came out, when you guys were doing that to me, was it not Endgame?
Oh, Infinity War.
Infinity War. Fuck.
Yeah, it was a long
month. You guys, nothing worse. I had my headphones on for like a month. Nothing like, RG's coming back. RG's
back. Shut up. Honestly, RG, this is one of the, I'm going to say it in a weird way, but honestly, one of the biggest, if not now, the biggest pop culture phenomenon movies that has hit.
With no dragons.
Since Star Wars. And no dragons.
With no dragons involved.
And... it's kind of, for me, I love to see the fandom now that people finally give a shit about these characters.
Probably care about what you say? That you've been, what you've been spewing for...
for so long.
More than half your life?
When I was a kid, dude, we had to hide our fandom.
Yeah.
Because we weren't the fucking cool kids. And I was a fat kid reading fucking comics.
How do you feel now? Like, you see, like, these girls you know that don't know anything about it, or bros with, like, their shirts and stuff that, like...
you know what? It's funny because... you see the same Batman insignia shirt, but it's like, dude, I got a fucking whole fucking closet full of fucking like Batman shirts that can smoke yours.
I know.
Honestly, I love it because now it's acceptable and it's cool. Yeah. And I'm not looking at it like hipster eyes. Like, I want everyone to love these characters the way I did growing up. But it is a pop culture phenomenon now, and that more people – I mean, look at how many – all the numbers it's breaking as far as pre-sale tickets. Yeah. And every movie is sold out opening weekend. Like, and I know movies do that, but for a three-hour-long movie to just have everyone
– there's not a lot.
– rabid for.
Yeah.
It's kind of beautiful to see for me.
That people are like fighting. I remember because my brother – or Alan from TLC, like – he kept saying, like, I'm trying to get in the website. The website's crashing. You guys were crashing websites.
Yeah. And I'm like, got tickets already. Like,
And I forgot who it is. So they're doing, like, 24-hour showings.
AMC is doing 24-hour showings.
So you can be, like, go to the bar, get kicked out of the bar, and go to the movies.
The movie theater I work at, dude, half of the theater is closed because we're putting down recliner seats. And we're taking out every movie. And half of the theater is going to be nothing but Avengers all day long, too. So we're the same thing, dude, and it's going to be nuts. And I have tickets in a recliner, reserved seating, so I'm good.
Oh, it's going to suck.
All right, man.
All right.
So where can our listeners find us, man? This was a fun one, dude.
I thought you'd enjoy it because I'm like, I want to add to this because then I won't be able to talk about it. And we've brought this up before, and then your list made me think about it.
Cool, man.
So much crap. Stuff like, so it's for all the people that are like in their 20s or like, you mean there's been gold since I was a kid?
We didn't even have gold.
But this is what I'm saying. The crazy part about all these lists that I was looking at the numbers, Iron Man was pitched during a time where these movies were losing money or breaking even.
Yeah, yeah.
And they still were able to pitch. And they were saying that, like, dude, Robert Downey, dude, the guy's in jail. He has a history. He's irresponsible.
And John Favreau.
What the fuck is
had
he?
To fight
for the guy him. From Went to Vegas?
Swingers. Fuck yeah, dude.
The guy from Swingers.
Yes.
The fluctuating weight.
Yes.
Goes from fat to skinny, the skinny head.
Also doing Mandalorian right now.
Yeah.
And did Jungle Book. But like, his vision's fucking dope.
Yeah.
And if that movie failed, you're right. If that movie fails, we don't have the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
But then this is the one, Iron Man was that first movie that went like, shit.
They can be done good.
You mean there's more? We can keep this rolling?
Yeah.
Yes. But the fact that they had the patience to spread it out instead of pulling a DC and trying to, like, fuck it, let's just shove a bunch of shit into this and just try to milk it before it blows up.
Yes.
They're like, no, instead of trying to, like, fucking run this car until it fucking explodes, we're going to go take some sleep. We're going to get farther.
Yes, you're right, though.
We're going to ride it slow, and we're going to get farther with it, and it's going to be a nicer ride.
Yeah. So, all right, man. Where can our listeners find us? I love that.
You can find me on Twitter at RGFloors. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at RG Flores.
How to make sure.
It's always so funny when I say my name twice. And you can find us at Deep Dives R on Twitter. You can email us at deepdivesandrabbitholes@gmail.com. And you can find us on Instagram at Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes. And you can find your site. Oh, on Facebook, Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, the podcast.
Yes, we can't forget to plug that. Okay, you guys can find me at ForTheVillain on Twitter, at Comic_Syndicate on Instagram. You guys are awesome. Subscribe to the podcast for now on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. We're going to branch off soon, but it's been a rough start of the year.
Life happens.
Oh, God. So much life and so much bad stuff.
Yeah.
All right, guys. This movie's going to kick my ass. So by the time you guys listen to this one, hopefully I'm going to be done crying. So many emotions. Yeah.
And let us know what's your favorite B and C movies and D movies.
Deep dive these movies with us because now I want to watch fucking all these cheesy movies all over again. All right, guys. We'll catch you guys next week.
All right. Peace out.